Hi, everybody. It's me, Dave Juskow from Juskow in the City. I'll tell you something about today's podcast, folks. If you were going to listen to one podcast of Juskow in the City, if you were going to point your friends in the direction of one podcast from Juskow in the City, it would be today's podcast. It encompasses all things Juskow, all things we've been talking about for 3 years in Juskow in the City, and quite frankly, 8 years in the Dave Juskow podcasting world in general. We are talking about stories of career woe that is just absolutely perfect for Dave Juskow. We are talking about restaurant stories. Yes, a new, brand new restaurant trouble and waiter problems. And I mean, that's exactly what we love about this show. And mostly a scathing review in a magazine about Jimbo's, the restaurant I go to. And if it could get any better, a scathing article on Big John, Little John. Oh, I am not kidding with you. This is going to be the show to see.
Big John has a problem, as you can plainly see. 1 minute he's 40, the next he's 33. Big John keeps a-changing before your very eyes. He's 25 and then 19, then 12 years old in size. Big John, Little John, what a way to grow. Big John, Little John, from high to low. Big John found the fountain of youth, he drank a little drink, and that magic water is the thing that made him shrink. Now even when he's Little John, he never knows just when. Zap, he'll change and rearrange, and he's Big John again.
Well, maybe it ain't that great. No, I got so much planned for you today in the sense of hilarity and drama. But when I say drama, I mean only Juskow drama, which is hilarious drama. So this should be a very interesting, fun podcast that should delight anyone that may be new or just joining the podcast. And please feel free to join Patreon, as maybe there'll be pictures from, well, there will be pictures, but please feel free to join Patreon anyway and support the hilarity and the lifestyle I lead to go out and do minor things to that, you know, I need toll money to bring these things to you. And that's about it, because, you know, they're starting that congestion pricing in the city. So please join Patreon right away. So every time I come into the city, I don't have to, I mean, I'm going to have to pay $15. It better not be both ways. Anyway, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is this. Hello, everybody. Welcome to March of 2024. Tonight, Big Comedy Cellar show, the Oscar show with Scotty, our favorite Scotty and Memo. It's going to be super fun. And maybe it's not that fun, but we find it fun. Because when you're going over the categories of all the stuff, like costume design, all that kind of stuff, maybe it's not that fun, but we love doing it. So whatever. So please join us tonight at 6 o'clock on the Comedy Cellar channel on YouTube, the Comedy Cellar nightly show channel on YouTube. I would say you won't want to miss it, but, you know, you might want to miss it, but don't, because it's always fun. I mean, come on, Scotty, because Timothy Chalamet is not nominated for anything, Scotty's going to have a field day. He's going to go ballistic. It's unbelievable. So where to begin? Where to begin? It's funny, I didn't even really do that much this week. It's just that these things happened that made it so funny, and most of them just happened last night. But Wednesday, I'll just start it off this way, because this is hilarious. Now, you guys have known me for a long time, and you know the story, of course, about how the Blue Man Group came to me and my friend Lawrence and said, here's what our plan is, and we laughed in their face. I'm talking about in 1986 or 7, right? And they're like, oh, we got this great plan. We've painted ourselves blue. And we're like, oh, okay, fellas, good luck with that. Of course, you know, Chelsea Handler coming to me and being like, Dave, I'd like to get in a stand-up comedy. And I say, oh, okay, good luck with that. And the story is endless. I mean, so many people, I had no vision. I had nothing to see where these people are going. And they got so determined, thanks to me, by laughing in their face that they actually worked even harder. So you're welcome to all these people. Well, at this point in your life, you figure, well, that part is over, judging people, trying to do. Although, even though I said last week, I was talking to that woman who runs the Westside Comedy Club, and I said, you are horrible. And then, well, I don't know what her special is going to do, but then she did come out with a special, but anybody can come out with a special now. I was actually preparing one myself that everybody's going to love because it's going to be the best television stand-up comedy special of all time, because it ain't just stand-up. There's action and drama and dancing and singing. It's an all-out variety show. And when I say all-out, I mean it's just pretty much singing and comedy. So basically, it would be musical comedy, which, of course, I've been born to do. So anywho, last year when I got my job, or has it been 2 years now? Oh, my God, it's almost 2 years. Anyway, a year and a half ago, I got my job. And I met these girls, and you probably know about this. I met these girls at the office, and we all started reading books. I've told you this before. We started reading books, and we designed a little bit of a book club at lunch that we started reading books. And, of course, they were girly books. And I was okay with that because I just wanted to start reading. This is before I was really busy and just had a lot of time to read. And I just wanted to get into reading. I'm not a reader. And I'm like, well, that's a good thing to pick up later in life. Nobody wants to talk that way, but it makes sense. So I'm like, yeah, let me read. Let's read something. And we decided we would read The Housemaid, I believe was the name of the book. And then we read The Housemaid's Secret, which is the sequel. And The Housemaid was fantastic. And I really enjoyed it. And I really read through it really quick. It was fun. And then we read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Have you heard of that? Which was terrific. And then as I'm doing the air quotes, man, or boy child, I decided, well, you know, now I should mix it up and read a boy's book, a man's book. So I went to my friend. You know all this already. I went to my friend down at the bar that I hang out in, who was a writer, who's a noir writer. And I said, could you recommend a boy's book? And he recommended this book by, oh, what's his name? S.A. Sinclair. I don't know the guy's name. I can't remember. But he wrote this book called Razorblade Tears. And it was excellent. I mean, it is a boy's book. It's very manly, and it's got all the action and everything you need. I mean, when I asked for a recommendation, he, my goodness, gave me what I was looking for, I guess. Because I was asking a couple of friends, what's a boy's book? I mean, because it's kind of funny. There's so many books for women in thrillers and mysteries and stuff. They're mostly made for women, I think. So I'm like, what's a boy's book? I don't even know. I mean, like I said, I just started reading, so I don't know what's going on. So anyway, I said to these girls, I'm like, look, I got to go my own way. And because they're like, oh, here's the book we're going to read today. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll come back to the girls' book soon. But you guys go on without me and do whatever you're doing. I don't know. It sounds stupid. Everything you're doing sounds stupid. Yesterday or Wednesday, I'm watching TV. And I see them all, the book club, on the Today Show, and I spit out my coffee and almost gagged, and you could hear a scream to the heavens. You know, there'd be a wide shot of my building. No! You know, up into the planet Earth. I am not kidding you. I say, yeah, you guys, do whatever you want. This is a stupid club. They were on the Today Show yesterday, the book club, the girls from the book club, from my office, from the law firm that I work in. This is not an office of like a casting agent or something like that. I mean, you have got to be kidding me. What? These girls got on TV before I did? I couldn't even believe. It's again, the saddest story ever, but the funniest. I mean, I'm so glad it happened because it's hilarious. I told Dave Attell, I don't think I've ever heard him laugh that hard. He's like, that's a hell of a story. I mean, I cannot wait to tell Rachel Feinstein this story. That what could be worse than your pal, Dave Juskow, who's been trying to make it in show business for 50 years. I mean, really, 50 years, I could say, because I really think, you know, I started pretty much when I was like five. You're taking musical comedy classes and tap and ballet and then doing stand-up and auditioning and all that stuff. And I'm still trying, right? I'm still in stuff, and I'm still trying to do stuff. And maybe, you know, I'm on the stupid pet tricks. Oh, maybe this will work out to more voiceover work or something. And then these girls, somehow, I still don't even know how it happened. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. What? I'm supposed to be the person like, well, you know, I can't come to work. David can't come to work this week because he's filming a television show. That's supposed to be me. They're like, oh, Kirby can't come to work today because she's on the Today Show. What? I just want to kill myself. And yet, no, I don't want to kill myself because this story is hilarious. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, you definitely, this is one of those stories you want to put a bullet to your head. You're like, okay, life is really unfair. When I say unfair, not in the Holocaust form of unfair, in a hilarious comedy way of being unfair. It's funny to say life is so unfair. And then I just can't stop thinking, you know, whenever you say that, I just think about the Holocaust. I'm like, well, life is really unfair, and I'm an asshole for thinking life is unfair because I didn't get on the Today Show with my book club. And they're all just sitting there. First of all, can I just say, I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know whether the Today Show told them to dress that way. They're all dressed dopey. I mean, they looked horrible. I don't understand how you go on the Today Show and dress up. I mean, they're women. I mean, maybe this is why I had to leave the book club. I'm like, listen, you girls got to dress better when we're going out discussing this book. This ain't working for me. I mean, you're all professionals. This makes no sense. And when I say professional, I mean they're hookers. I'm kidding, though. But I still, is that the best or is that the worst? No, it's the best, right? Come on, tell me that story is an epic. The guy that told the Blue Man Group, they're never going to make it. It's a stupid idea. 40 years later, is still telling, people, you stink. This whole idea stinks. And then all to be burned again. I have not learned my lesson. And that is why you want to be a part of Just Get Out in the City. And you can make your donation now at patreon.com. I feel like I'm doing a Channel 13 fundraiser. Yeah. How about that, huh? Is that good stuff? Is that a good way to open up the podcast? I'd like to think so.
Nice pile of bricks you got here.
You drink?
No, thanks. I'm cool.
I'm not offering. I'm asking you if you drink. You think I give alcohol to teenage drivers taking my daughter out?
Hey, man, the protective vibe, I dig.
What's with you, kid? You think the death of Sammy Davis left an opening in the Rat Pack?
Christian.
Dollface.
Handsome.
Stunning.
You're not letting her go out like that, are you?
Cher, get in here.
What's up, Daddy?
What the hell is that?
A dress.
Says who?
Calvin Klein.
It looks like underwear. Go upstairs and put something over it.
Yeah, I was just going to.
Hey, you. Anything happens to my daughter, I got a 45 and a shovel. I doubt anybody would miss you.
So let me continue. So yesterday, I'll just go from yesterday and then we'll go backtrack. Yesterday, obviously, I have class, and I have Amy Heckerling coming to the class. This has nothing to do with anything. I'm just telling you what happened yesterday. She zoomed in. Everything worked flawlessly, as it has every time I've had a professor. Here's one for you. You're going to love this. I had forgotten about this. So Amy Heckerling comes in. She's terrific. She's so funny and cool. And let me tell you something, folks. And again, when I'm talking about how horrible my life is, this kind of stuff is really great. So that's, again, the fun of the podcast, the juxtaposition in the craziness of the stuff that happens to me and then the stuff I get to do, of course, is why this girl wants to make a documentary of me, of course, in the class, and she doesn't even know half of this stuff. We're interviewing Amy Heckerling or whatever, and it's just so funny. We're texting back and forth, and I just still like Larry from Three's Company, can't believe I'm friendly and texting the writer and director of Clueless. Truly my favorite movie even before I knew I could ever meet her. I've loved that movie for 30 goddamn years. Like I've said, like I told the class, when I made my top five movies of all time list in the mid-90s, Clueless was number two. And only before, and I think I told you this, only because I put The Godfather at number one because, I don't know, I had to, because it's stupid to have Clueless as your number one. And I think it went to, from Caddyshack and Spinal Tap in My Favorite Year. I think those were the top five, if I remember correctly. And maybe I had 10. Whatever it was, those were the basics. And over the years, your top 10 list, like we talk about on Billy Joel all the time, changes over the years. But the fact of the matter is, Clueless, before meeting Amy Heckerling, still just remained. I'm like, you know, if I'm being honest, God damn it, Clueless is a real miracle of a movie. I think Arthur was up there. And Arthur is that way too. But Clueless, there's something about Clueless. It's just, it's so well written for what it is. Arthur is fantastic. The script is amazing, as I tried to teach in class. Look, this joke. It's a different movie, and it definitely shaped me as a kid. It made me want to drink as a kid and made me want to be a writer and funny and all that kind of stuff. But Clueless is this other thing, which is when you're watching all these horrible sex comedies growing up that I'm teaching a class now in the 80s, of all the movies we saw, like this Hot Dog the movie and Spring Break and Hard Bodies and all the nonsense. And then, you know, of course, you have a Fast Times in there. And then when you find out it's the same director as Clueless, you're like, this all makes sense. And then you make this Clueless, which I'll never forget, me and Sarah Silverman and her friend Heidi going to see the movie and coming out being like, God, that was so much better than we ever thought that was going to be. And it just stuck with me. There's so many elements about it that I like. Then when I found that it was based on Emma, and then, of course, reading Emma. So I was talking to Ms. Heckerling yesterday. I said, you know, after we got off the phone, I showed the presentation of how it relates to the book. I have a graphic novel of it, so I have pictures. She goes, where'd you get a graphic novel? I'm like, oh, I'll show it to you when I come over next time with Molly. And I'm like, oh, I mean, this is as good as knowing Larry from Three. Okay, nothing's as good as being friends with Larry from Three's Company. Nothing. But this is good. This rivals it. You know, I mean, it is damn exciting. And she came in, and it was so funny because I warned them in advance. I'm like, listen, you're going to be thrown off a little bit because she is from the Bronx, and her accent has not gone away. And you're going to be confused that the woman that talks with this accent made a Southern California movie about Valley girls, technically, or people that talk this way and is talking like this. Yeah, these pieces of shit, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. I mean, she's not in a nasty tone, but she definitely has the accent. She goes, I'm like, fuck them. They don't know what they're talking. I want to be a chick. I want to direct the film. She doesn't talk like that, but I'm just trying to imitate the accent. And so it is really funny. Like, and I was like, if I want to put as if in, I'll put as if. Right? I'm just looking up. I'm like thinking that every time I say that outfit looks great, I'm going to change it to that outfit looks dope. Right? Because I got a vernacular dictionary that says so. I'll just change it for them. It says good. You said dope. So so that is hilarious. So it went really well. And I think, you know, like I said, all the kids just remind me of Dory. They're all sitting there. You have no idea whether they liked it, but I really believe, I'd like to believe that they really enjoyed it. I think they were very much in awe of her. You can tell when they are asking the questions, hi, that they're in awe. I mean, she doesn't come off. It's not like Steven Spielberg sitting there, and so because you just don't picture her directing the way she comes across. She's just a regular person. That's why it's so easy to, you know, really hang out with her. I think the kids liked it. So that was exciting. And then I showed the presentation of Clueless and Emma and how amazing it is that she takes this book that I couldn't even, it took me so long to read because it's so hard to get through. That's why the graphic novel made it a little bit easier. But I read the book first and I'm like, where does somebody, but she's so smart. You could hear her talking and hear her intelligence. Obviously she's very smart. You can't direct movies like that. You can't even direct a European vacation if you're not intelligent in some way, right? You can't direct more than one. You can direct one movie and maybe a fluke. Then I told them, because they didn't know, she wrote Look Who's Talking, or she directed it, maybe wrote it, I don't know. And they were like, what? Because they couldn't believe it. I mean, and that, whether you like it or not, made a fortune and had three sequels. And there, you know, then we were talking about how she's working with unknowns first, but then of course she gets to work with Michael Keaton and John Travolta and all these other people. And it's very exciting. Michelle Pfeiffer, people like Saoirse Ronan, Saoirse, whatever you pronounce her name. Anyway, she's obviously very British, but she was very interested. I was showing the class that, and then we left. And so then, obviously, I go out to dinner with Glenn and Evan. And Glenn tells me when we get to this horrible restaurant, and I'll tell you what it is, Papalari in Montclair, in Bloomfield, New Jersey, I think. Papalari. Evan says, let's go to Papalari. And I say, I just looked on the website and it says it's open only till 9. And he goes, no, that's the Google. That's Google. It's open on the website, it says until 10. And I say, brilliant. So we go there and, I'll tell you this. Glenn tells me, he goes, oh, we were talking about you the other night at this bar, this guy. He's apparently the head of the film department at Montclair. And I'm like, and they told me his name, and I'm like, I've never heard that name before. I wonder why I haven't met the head of the film department of Montclair State, right? It doesn't make any sense. I said, that's odd. I've never heard his name before. I've heard his name because it sounded familiar. It sounds like something I heard in a movie or something, but I don't know the guy. And apparently, he's extremely jealous of the people I'm getting to come in and talk. We're talking about the guy who goddamn wrote Back to the Future and Bob Dale or Alex Sulkin or certainly Paul Rudd and now Amy Heckling. He's jealous. He goes, because we got to pay for those people. And I'm like, well, that's hilarious that I'm already causing such controversy at the school when, quite frankly, nobody has reached out. I have reached out to people. I went to the dean of the School of Communication because I'm there early and I stop in people's offices and I introduce myself and say hello because I'd like to be friends with some of these. I like being friends with the other professors. I'd like to meet some of them. I like to talk to them about stuff. It's kind of weird that they haven't reached out to me or sent an email. And quite frankly, when Paul Rudd came in, I made a thing and I said, we should make this a bigger deal. It seems not fair to just keep it to 8 students. Nobody reached out, so how is it my fault if you guys, like, I do have all these resources. I'd like them to talk zoom into a big theater space or something. I think they'd like it too. It's exciting. I mean, Bob Gale was like, oh, I guess I'm not a big draw, you know, because there was only 11 to 12 kids that day that came in. You know, that's how many I had in the class back then. So, I mean, that was weird. Because I'm like, why wouldn't the head of the film department introduce himself? Because I don't know who he is. I don't know where he sits. I don't know where he teaches. It's like, why wouldn't he come in and say, wait, this guy's teaching a film class too? Maybe I should introduce myself. You know what I'm saying? I don't know any of these people. I don't know how to introduce him. If he's heard of me already, why hasn't he sent an email or something like that? Right? So that's weird. And it's weird because also when I park in the parking lot and I see clearly there's other the kids can't park in the parking lot. The other professors come. It's like being in my building again. I'm walking down the street or the sidewalk to cross the street, and I see other, clearly they have to be teachers, and I say hello, and they say nothing. What the fuck? This is why I was so excited about my neighbor writing that note. I'm like, well, I guess it's just you and me, kid, that enjoy saying hello to our neighbors or other professor. I guess that's why this guy never reached out. Nobody talks to anybody. You know that kind of shit drives me nuts. Something about being polite to people as you're just walking by. I mean, it's a college campus. You can't say hello when you know somebody clearly has to be a professor. You know, kids, the students can't park in this lot. I'm not just going to say hello to the students because I don't want any trouble. I mean, unless they're mine. So anyway, Evan picks this restaurant, Papalari. I'm the first one to get there. I get a bottle of wine at the store next door. Thank God Evan's smart. He tells me in advance, it's bring your own. I'm like, great, because it's Italian food. So I'm like, this time I'll get wine instead of beer. And I got that new Snoop Dogg wine because it looked funny. And I was like, oh, I'll get that one, and then I'll get another one because I'm going to my cousin's house for dinner on Saturday. I'm like, I'll bring that hilarious bottle. I don't know what to bring for dinner, so I'll just bring him a bottle of the Snoop Dogg wine because it's hilarious because I don't know anything about wine. So the best thing I can do when I bring wine is bring something funny, bring more of a gag gift than anything else because I just don't know what to bring unless they say, Dave, can you bring – if they said bring a bottle of wine or bring something in particular, then I would try and talk to the guy at the counter and say, well, not the place where I was yesterday, but the place across the street. For me, they seem to know some of their stuff. Anywho, or I'd call Vincent, of course, and he would tell me what to get. So I go in, and the guy says, okay, we're about to close in 15 minutes. I'm like, no, your website says 10 o'clock. He's like, well, you can order in 15 minutes, but you can hang out, but we, you know, the kitchen will close. I'm like, nope. Your website says 10 o'clock. So then they bring, I guess, the manager over, and he goes, no, it's 9 o'clock. So he goes on his phone, and he shows me. I go, no, that's Google. Your website says 10 o'clock. And he's like, it does? And I'm like, yeah, just press those three things over there, go down. Well, I don't see it, because he's like, he doesn't know what he's doing. And I go to the bottom, and it says 10 o'clock, and I start poking him. Huh? Huh? I said poking him because I was like, see, because I hadn't looked at the website. I was just going by what Evan said, so I got excited. And I was poking him with my finger on his shoulder. And what a dick move. I mean, it was really rude. So then the whole rest of the night, I'm trying to make up with this guy because I feel bad because I was poking him. I touched him. I'm poking him. And I'm like, see, and he goes, oh, yeah. And then he goes back and he's like, all right, whatever. And I'm like, my friends aren't here yet and they're running late. And I'm like, hey, you better get here. We got to order in like 15 minutes, even though it says 10 o'clock. Whatever. He says, well, okay, whatever you guys want. And they clearly just, everybody was angry. And he's like, well, you can order everything at once. So, of course, I'm not angry because at least I get to throw it in the guy's face that your fucking stupid website clearly says Tuesday through Saturday, 10 o'clock, jerks. Yeah, I don't care what the Google says. Your website says otherwise. We order, we have a little wine, and then the food immediately comes because who knows what they were doing. But it was pretty good. I ordered, they had lollipop lamb chops, which you know I like, which I really didn't need, with a lasagna. But because they had it, and I was like, all right, I got to get this. And Evan got a salad. And then he got this seafood appetizer, which was looked really good. And Glenn got this bowl of pasta with clams. It looked delicious. Everything was really good. It was tasty. Everything was tasty. I'd say the lamb wasn't as good because they had a sauce, like a dipping sauce, which tasted more Indian food-like, which I didn't like. But the lamb itself was pretty good. But they should have had a different kind of sauce. Well, I mean, I got what was on the menu. It's no big deal. I wouldn't order that again. But I do love lollipop lamb chops. I hadn't had them in a long while since that place in Staten Island closed. So I was like, well, I got to have it. Even though it's too much food, I don't care. And then I can't stand it. Glenn is always like, it's too much food. I'm like, shut up. I know he listens to the podcast. He must know that I can't stand when somebody says too much food. If it's too much food, then we'll walk away. Come on. We are men. Not Evan, but Glenn and I are men, I think. Evan is not a man. He doesn't eat like a man anymore. But that's why he looks amazing. He's been losing a lot of weight. He's eating healthy. So I can't blame him for not wanting to be a big balloon. And he's married. I should be the one that should be eating healthy because I'm out there. Whatever. We're eating, and of course the guy can't wait to leave the check. And he leaves the check, and Evan has a gift card. And he's like, oh, can you put some of it on this? How much do I have left? But I didn't realize it's a gift card to the place. Popolari, or whatever the hell it's called. It's a gift card to the goddamn place. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. So he took a little bit off he had $10 left on the thing. So then he would also say, oh, I guess he's a regular. You know, man, it's a good thing we kept it open, whatever. So Evan and I split it for Glenn's birthday. And I, of course, and you know, this is beautiful. You're going to love this. So, of course, they have that fucking machine they bring to the table. You know, my arch enemy, the machine. So Evan pays first with his credit card, and he has the machine. And I say, well, let me leave a bigger tip because you paid some of your gift card or whatever. He's like, I'll just leave that, and I'll leave the best. So then it's the best. He's taking the survey after. And I'm like, yeah. And this guy, the waiter's getting angry because he wants to leave, but he's taking the survey. He's like, yeah, fuck you. Fuck you, asshole. Fuck you and your stupid fucking electronic restaurant system, you fuck. Yeah, he's taking the survey. It's awesome. It's awesome. I love it. I'm like, are you taking the survey? He's like, yeah, taking the survey. Good. Good. Fuck you. You know I hate that goddamn machine. So I give him my pink card. Now, as you know, the pink card is my college payment that I get paid for. And that pink card is a piece of shit from this horrible bank that has no chip and no tap ability. It's a really shit bag card. And it bothers everyone. And there's nothing more hilarious than really bothering people. But there's plenty of money on that card, so I don't have to use my debit card because I'm in a situation where I'm consolidating a bunch of stuff. So I only have my debit card and this other little pink annoying card. And so many times I'm like, oh, it's not going through. Oh, forget it. The dry cleaners, they can't figure that out at all. It's a mess. So the best is it doesn't work with those fucking stupid machines. And guys, and it's like, oh, it's not, there's nowhere to slide it on this machine. Oh, well, what do you want me to do? Now, normally I would just probably give him my regular tap card. But I'm like, no, fuck this. Fuck you and that fucking digital machine you bring over to the table. Go fuck yourself. Put in the work and the effort. He's got to put it on all manually. And I'm like, yeah. And that apparently made him so angry. He just weeped. And I overtipped because I was such a dick all night for that and poking him. I totally overtipped. And then he's like, all right, you guys have to leave. And we're like, you just said we could hang out. And I guess I pissed him off to the end. I even tried to make it up after. I'm like, thank you. We had a nice time. He was such a dick afterwards. Such a dick. And again, such a dick after giving him a really nice tip. This is exactly what happened. I wouldn't have mentioned it so much about the tip, except that Attell was angry at the old homestead, which is also a piece of shit, where he gave the woman an incredible tip, and she was like, all right, see you, fellas. Like, when you don't acknowledge a nice tip, you suck. And because you deserve the acknowledgement, because you know no one's leaving over 20% at this point, right? So I'm trying to be polite because I was a dick to this guy, whatever, and you make it up in the tip. But the guy was such a dick. So I was like, well, whatever, whatever. If the other guys don't care, then I don't care. And I cannot tell you how happy I was this morning when I woke up and there was a message from Evan saying, you know what? I'm going to write a letter to that place because my wife knows the owner and they treated us like shit. And that place is supposed to be open till 10, as it says on the website. And I'm like, good, because I can't stop thinking about that too. So I couldn't be happier that Evan is going to take charge of this situation and say, fuck you to Papa Laurie, which we'd probably go to again. He goes, maybe we'll get a gift card. I'm like, oh, that sounds nice. Because the food was excellent. It's just the service was good, but it says, you know, fuck you. Your website, fix your fucking website. And fix your stupid way of charging if you have cards that don't have a tap and they don't work. Yeah, you're going to have to put in an old school asshole. He needed my zip code and everything. I couldn't, but normally, like I said, I would have just given him, all right, here, use this. But I'm like, yeah, screw you and your stupid. And then, of course, you know, I had the machine. He was getting so angry. I also took the survey. I couldn't wait to take that survey. I just wish there was another survey on top. And then as I was taking the survey, I'm like sitting there. And the guy's waiting for the thing back. And I'm like, gee, I don't know. Should I select more than one? I was like asking questions. I was such a dick. But you know how I hate those goddamn machines. I wasn't on a date. Even if I wasn't, who am I kidding? If I was on a date and a girl doesn't appreciate me being a dick because I hate these fucking machines and I hate them hanging around you, watching what you're doing, I would do that. If a girl doesn't get that, then I don't want to be around her anyway. You guys know what I'm talking about. How can I date anybody that doesn't understand what the hell I'm doing, right? So I couldn't have been more pleased that Evan was on top of that this morning. Oh man, that was awesome. So two other things about yesterday. One, my computer that I purchased, the laptop, blows. So I had to ask one of my students, hey, would you mind if we use your computer when we have Amy Zoom in? Because I'm very nervous that mine sucks. And it does. It is not made for Zooming and stuff. Her computer was flawless. I guess she has I don't know whether it's brand new, but it's definitely more powerful than mine. And quite frankly, I guess I need to get a more powerful computer. I have problems with PowerPoint on it. It can't handle all my slides and videos. It always says you don't have enough memory. So I didn't think about that when I bought it. I need a very powerful computer for class. and I just can't believe the school doesn't have one. So I had to use one of my students' computers yesterday to interview Amy. But thank God, you know, this girl's really cool, and she didn't mind, and she was adorable, and thank goodness. But that's hilarious to have. Again, it's like Clueless. Like, the students have better software than I do. They got better cars. It's kind of a the worst part about teaching, of course, as we all know. Now, yesterday, after I drove home and I parked the car, I decided we never get dessert because it's late and we don't really want to stay out anymore. So I always stop on the way at one of the gas stations or something and pick up some chocolate milk and or like a tasty cake or something, because I just need something sweet because everything's oniony and garlicky. You know what I'm saying. So this time I said, well, I'll just stop at the Duane Reade by my house. There's a Duane Reade on 57th and 3rd, a Duane Reade that's open 24 hours on 57th and 3rd. I go in the Duane Reade like any other day. It's open 24 hours. It's been there for a while. It's a nice, big, juicy Duane Reade. And I get the chocolate milk, and I bring it to the counter. I mean, what am I, 10? And I bring it to the counter. And while I'm at the counter and I'm talking to my friend Joe in the headphones, I hear this lady talking into the phone. Attention customers, Duane Reade will be closing in 20 minutes. And I go, wait, did I just hear her correct? Wait, what's going on? Why is it closing? Oh, we're not open 24 hours anymore. You're not? I don't understand. Why not? What happened? Since when? And he goes, tonight. Tonight's the first night. Why? And I knew what the answer was. Everybody's been stealing. I know that's the answer. I was in the Duane Reade down on Wall Street the other day, and all I was looking for was a package of flushable wipes. 10 flushable wipes, a small package of flushable wipes, which of course I don't want to call attention to, but they're locked up behind the cabinet, and I got to press the button, wait for the guy. I'm like, I'm just looking for those, pretty much buying toilet paper. God damn it, I can't believe I had to call you for it. The guy lifts it open. He's lifting it open. He's holding it open, as if he's holding the check, electronic check thing for leave the tip. So it's like I can't just look in and check stuff. He's holding it open. It's not like he unlocked it and just let me open it and take some time to look. It's a disaster what's happening here in New York. And I don't know if it's happening in your town, but now that this big store has got to close and not open 24 hours anymore, this is the end. This city is turning into shit. It is absolutely not a 24 town. You've heard me talk about this nonstop, and it is just really turning into shit. Everything locked up in a Duane Reade. What is this, 1972? I mean, this is bad. And now that place isn't going to be open 24 hours. I've always relied on that place. It's open 24 hours. You can get a soda or something or a medical emergency thing. I mean, this is horrible. And it just happened last night. Can you imagine if I got there yesterday and I'm like, what the fuck? I just came all the way. I could have stopped in Jersey and gotten some. I figured I'd just do it on my way home. It's right on the way home. And now they're not open anymore because everybody's been stealing, because the cops are afraid to do anything. They actually let people steal and walk away. They don't do anything about it. And they have a security guy there too. They've always had a security guy there because they're open 24 hours. And that's how bad it's gotten. And that's in this, you know, technically classy neighborhood too. So what a disaster. What is the point of living here if you can't get a meal after 10 o'clock or a tampon after 10 o'clock? I'm just saying, right? I mean, what is the point of living in New York City? The whole point was coming here. If you're a night owl, this is the town for you. And now everything closes at 11 o'clock. Again, being older, what are you going to do? But I can't even imagine. Why would I come here at 22? For what purpose? Everything's closing down. Nowhere to go. This is stupid. This is just pissing me off. But that's interesting as hell, right?
Would you welcome Richard Lewis?
Thank you very much. Happy birthday, Bert. I have dandruff. It's a bad start, but, you know, I'm so excited to be here. You know, it's Johnny's here, Joe, and it's a party for Bert. I should enjoy this moment like you are, but I can't. My mother called me. I tell her, don't call me. Don't call me the day of a Tonight Show. She knows I get freaked out. She knows that this show is practically as important as having sex to me, and she knows that. Yeah, so today, here's what happens. During my morning, I'm preparing. I pull all the phones out of my apartment. I go on an errand. I'm on somewhere on Santa Monica Boulevard at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a payphone rings. And, but hey, I love her. I love you, Mom. She's recuperating. She had some major open guild surgery a couple of weeks ago.
Also, just there's two things before we leave. We want to talk about Richard Lewis dying. Richard Lewis, I never, don't think I ever got to meet him, but it's so weird because, you know, my friend Rick Newman, who used to own Catch Rising Star, was very close with Richard Lewis and Richard Belzer. Belzer and Rick Newman died a week apart from each other, exactly a year ago. So I've been talking to Rick Newman's widow a lot, and she's been calling, and she's going crazy. It's been a year, and she can't cope. She's having trouble being apart, you know what I mean, from her husband. And it's sad. And I have trouble talking to her because I just don't understand what she's going through. It's, she's just, I can't take, I mean, she's got a very positive attitude. But she, and the, what she says to me, this was Sunday, okay? She says, well, the good news is I'm still very close with Richard Lewis and his wife. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, I saw it on Tuesday. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me that he just died after that. I mean, I can't even, I don't even know what she's going to do now. I mean, obviously she still has his wife, but he obviously looked very unwell on this season of Curb. It's very clear that they had him sitting all the time. He hadn't moved, at least in the first three episodes. He's in a golf cart. He's at a dinner table. There's obviously something wrong with his movements, and I guess that was the case. But Dave Attell put up a thing on his Instagram, or his people did. There's no way Dave Attell could figure out, because I couldn't even figure out how to put a video up there of him on The Tonight Show. We were talking about it last night, and he looks so handsome and so cool. I'd forgotten why we all liked him. And he was so interesting and just talking about Judaism and his mother. And that's why he was so interesting to us. But he looked so cool. He had good hair. And he just looked great. He was very handsome. And he did like an over 8-minute set on The Tonight Show. It's insane. And it was really fun to watch because I think we had all forgotten. I went to see him perform live before at, I think, maybe Carnegie Hall or a place like that in the 80s because I was a big fan and he was just so cool. And then I'd seen a lot of his acting work, actually, where he wasn't doing comedy, which was so cool. There was obviously, he was a really interesting, cool guy. And that is another comic that I grew up with, who is, well, not, I mean, I didn't grow up with Gilbert or Bob Saget or anything, but, and he's not a buddy, but I'm just saying, it's a, boy, these comics, are, they're really dropping like flies. It's not good. But Dave Juskow will be around forever. So don't worry, even the horrible way I eat, where Glenn is looking at me like, wow, you're really going to eat that whole lasagna? I'm like, Glenn, let me explain something to you. Dave Juskow is going to live to be 105. He'll be poor, but he's going to live to 105. That is my punishment for something I did in a past life. I know that now, and you're all witness to it. Now, you won't, all of you listening to this will never make it. I'm going to outlive all of you, so you won't be able to see how the journey ends. But, you know, up until then, you'll have this podcast to listen to. Like, wow, he's still ticking? I stopped listening 15 years ago, and I just, it's the same stuff. Now he's 90, and he's still talking about that stupid cash register problem at the diners. Ah, you know it. You know it's going to be true.
Next time, I get the part of Peter Pan in the school play when I'm Little John. I also get the part of Captain Hook when I'm Big John. Bye. The only trouble, of course, is that Little John and Big John are the same person. The spot on what you're supposed to lose. There's plenty of action and fun. It's a real Peter Panic.
Let's talk about this scathing, scathing review of Jimbo's. So there's a magazine, which I believe I've told you about, in my neighborhood, which is called Sutton Place, called Sutton Place Social. If you live in this, I don't know, 8-block radius of what is called Sutton Place here in the city, you get this magazine, which I'm trying to write for because I want them to write the scathing review of Jimbo's. So, okay, it's not a scathing review, but it's funny to call it that. So I call Bob and I'm like, Bob, I texted him, have you seen the scathing? Because this is funny every time to us. I hope to you too. of the scathing review of Jimbo's. And that made him call. Like, he never calls in. He's like, what do you mean? Well, who would say that about Jimbo's? I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. There's an article about Jimbo's in last month's Sutton Place Social. So they're like, oh, well, let's go there tomorrow. So we were supposed to go Wednesday morning. And then he's like, oh, I got to meet somebody else at Jimbo's. I'm sorry, I can't meet. I'm like, what? You're cheating on me? So it's so funny. You're going to want to read Miriam Silverberg's review of Jimbo's. I don't know why. If you haven't read Miriam Silverberg's scathing review, is it just funny to me? I want it to be scathing, but it's not. It's just great. But it does have a lot of history, which is good. Jimbo's has been in business since the 50s when Jimbo, yes, that was the name, came here from Arkansas. He opened it. In the 70s, he sold it to a Greek gentleman named Gus. For a number of years now, it's been owned by a very nice Egyptian gentleman named Mohammed Mustafa, who is also the chef. This was Andy Warhol's favorite spot, and Michael Jackson always ordered fruit from here. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Apparently, there's 23 different types of hamburgers. And then it's funny. I was told my burger would be small, as I had asked, but I didn't believe it. It was huge. I was no longer hungry, but also ordered the marinated chicken over a salad for $14.50, which was outstanding. It's funny. She goes, and the prices are so reasonable. They're really not. They're not. They're just like everybody else now. But again, the Miriam Silverberg review of Jimbo's is just, it's the talk of the town in this neighborhood. Everybody's talking about it. So I suggest, you know, pick up a copy of Sutton Place Social, and then you'll see. Now, I've been trying to get on that cover for a while. They have a lot of people from my building, and it's really pissing me off, as you know. So I got to get on the cover. Now, the big news, of course, is the scathing review. I bought this magazine. It's called Retro Fan, and I've remember the last scathing review they had was for HR Puff and stuff. And when I saw that this particular issue had any kind of review of Big John Little John, our favorite show from cartoons in the 70s, was not a cartoon, but you know, the kids shows in the 70s with Robbie Rist and Herb Edelman, I knew I had to get the article. So it's a double feature. They talk about this show, Run, Joe, Run, which I remember as a kid, but I remember hating it. And it was about a dog. It's funny. Obviously, I like shows about talking dogs. In fact, I love shows about talking dogs. But rescue dogs, I can't stand. So I've never liked Lassie or Rin Tin Tin or any of these things. And this one's called Run, Joe, Run. But the premise of the show, I had no idea. And this may be the greatest premise of all time. This should be redone as I'm speaking. The premise of this dog show, Run Joe Run. Joe is the dog who's actually played by this guy, Heinrich, because he is a German Shepherd. The premise is that him and his commander were in Vietnam. I'm not kidding you. He's a Vietnam dog, and he's like a soldier, the dog, the German Shepherd. And him and his commander, and he apparently, somebody said he bit his commander, which is false. And so now he's supposed to be put down, but he was brought to America, and now he is a fugitive from justice. I'm not making this up. I was making up the scathing review, but I'm not making this premise up. He is a fugitive from justice. So there's a bounty on his head, the dog's head, and the master knows he's innocent. So they go on these adventures, saving people along the way while these bounty hunters are after them. Now, if it sounds like The Fugitive, it is. But what else does it sound like? Which they must have ripped off the premise for Run, Joe, Run from it. Yes, the Incredible Hulk series is clearly based on the hit dog series Run, Joe, Run. And when I say hit, it wasn't a hit at all. There's about 26 episodes. And I just can't think of anything funnier than a dog with a bounty on him, but he's got a kind heart, and he's a fugitive from justice. So as it turns out, the best reason for picking up this magazine was the scathing review of Run, Joe, Run. However, in reading, of course, about Big John, Little John, I found out one extremely interesting tidbit about this, and this is fascinating. So this one production company made these two TV shows, and they brought on Sherwood Schwartz, who, as we all know, created Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch, to produce and make Big John, Little John, which is why Robbie Rist was used, because Sherwood Schwartz clearly liked this kid to truly get a scathing review of the last six episodes of the Brady Bunch, with apparently Robbie Rist having the last line ever uttered in a Brady Bunch episode, which was fascinating. I don't know what it is, and I've got to find out. There's 13 episodes of Big John, Little John. And the interesting part is that apparently Joyce Bulifant, who nobody really cares about, but we've seen her all over the 70s. She plays Murray Slaughter's wife, and she's been around. She's just a little cute, bubbly, blonde lady who plays the put-upon wife in everything she's ever been, wife or mother, right? Joyce Bulifant. We all have heard about her, if you are of any kind of age like me. So apparently she, Sherwood Schwartz, wanted her. She was Carol Brady. She got the part of Carol Brady and was in costume and getting fitted for costumes and at the set. And at the very last minute, Sherwood Schwartz had to tell her, "I'm sorry, we have been told by the network that we have to use Florence Henderson." I'm assuming because Florence Henderson was a quote name of some sort and nobody knew who Joyce Bulifant was. And so I guess the network demanded, and can you imagine, you get this part and then you just, it's not as bad as Eric Stoltz in Back to the Future, but it's the same kind of thing. You're ready to do it, and then all of a sudden they say, "Joyce, can we have a word?" Can you imagine? That's devastating. And Sherwood Schwartz Vatti goes, "I swear to God, I promise you, I swear, Joyce, the next project I have, I will put you in, I promise." So the next project he has, unfortunately for Joyce, is not anything that's remembered, but it's Big John, Little John. And she goes, "Well, what am I going to do? I'm not doing anything else. I'll do it. Yeah, you know, thank you. This is a lesson for my nephew and anyone else. This is a great lesson. I might teach this in class. I just found this information out from this scathing review of Big John, Little John. Is that funny every time, or is it just me? You'll let me know. So she's doing it, not reluctantly. She's happy to be a part of anything because she's a fucking working actress. And she just wants to be working. And that's the best kind of actress or actor that there is. There's no small parts. So she does this show. The show doesn't work very well. But the final episode was written by Jerry Zucker, David Zucker, and James Abrams. Do you recognize those names? Because those guys made Airplane and Naked Gun. And they wrote the final episode of Big John, Little John. And you know what they did? They fucking put Joyce Bulifant in Airplane. Because whatever she is, they enjoyed working with her. And they saw she was a professional. And if you remember correctly, they put her in as the mother of Vicky from The Love Boat, who was... had a hospital issues and had to be flown. I remember then she gets in the ambulance after the plane lands and the ambulance crashes. It's classic. But yeah, she's the mother in Airplane, all because they wrote the final episode of Big John, Little John, and she was a trooper. And even though the show's stupid, even though we love it, and in its stupidity, they're like, she's a real professional and we want to work with her again. And that should be taught everywhere to anybody that's acting that's a piece of shit and says, "I'm above this," because you never know, that next writer could be the next Steven Spielberg. Now, I wish I had learned that lesson when I was in this book club, never thinking for a second. I'm like, guys, this book club is going nowhere fast. I don't see any future for it. So apparently I didn't get the message, the Big John, Little John message that everybody else was getting at the time. Now, next week, I'll have my scathing review on the Time After Time article that's in it, but that's not as funny as a Run Joe Run or Big John Little John, or especially the scathing review. Meanwhile, Evan is clearly writing a scathing review of Popolare, or Popolare, I can't pronounce it because it's stupid, and Evan is going to write a scathing review of Popolare, and that makes me so happy. I really love scathing reviews, and there's nothing better than it to be about a 70s show that no one cares about except the people that listen to this podcast. So you are welcome in advance.
Attacking his trainer, Sergeant Will Corey. A crime he did not commit. Only Corey can prove him innocent. But he must find Joe before his pursuers track him down.
With our limited time left, let me tell you that I saw three movies over this week because I'm trying to catch up to get for our Oscar show for tonight. So I finally saw Oppenheimer. Now, as you know, I saw Poor Things last week, loved it. Saw Oppenheimer. It's okay. I'm not exactly sure what the big fuss is about it, and it is definitely an hour too long. I do not and will never understand why everything's 2.5 to 3 hours. Everything is a half hour to an hour too long. Oppenheimer did not need to be 3 hours. Okay? So it's okay. I didn't not enjoy it. It held my attention, and it's all right. But nothing needs to be 3 hours. Quite frankly, Titanic, I'm good with that movie being over 3 hours. That all made sense to me for some reason, because there's got to be a setup, and then you want to make sure that you have the tragedy play out. But Oppenheimer, I don't know. Maestro sucked. I hate saying that because obviously my pal is in it, but it was awful. I couldn't wait for that movie to end. I hated Maestro, and I do like the actors that are in it. I really never liked Carrie Mulligan. Maybe she's going, oh no, the put upon wife again. Where's Joyce Bulifant when you need her? Maestro sucks. Okay. And that's why I guess it didn't go anywhere, because I guess everyone realizes it's pretty bad. It's a bad movie. And I'm like, should I keep it going? I really wanted to stop it. I was not enjoying it at all. It was bad. It's a stupid movie. A movie that I did enjoy, I do feel like Siskel and Ebert now, is called something that Wayne Fetterman had recommended on our Comedy Cellar podcast when he was on, which was, of course, he recommended Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And the other one was Anatomy of a Fall. Now, that was very entertaining. Again, probably a half hour too long, but very good, very well done. It's in French and English, so it's subtitled, even though some people are talking English. And it's really good. Very good. Very, very entertaining, and there's courtroom scenes and, you know, French courtrooms, and that's kind of cool. And it was very good. I enjoyed that very much. He was completely right in a great recommendation of Anatomy of a Fall. So we're all trying to see all these movies and things. Memo had just texted me yesterday and said, hey, do you want to see the short films? But can we do it by Tuesday? It's playing right by the Comedy Cellar. Is there any way we can see them before we are talking about it so we know what we're talking about? And I'm like, well, thanks for writing that today when we're doing this in three days. Obviously, it's not going to work, but we should think about doing that next year, where me, Scotty, and Memo should plan a day when they're always showing those short films right across the street from the cellar. In fact, next year, what we should do is probably go, if they show them in the afternoon, go there in the afternoon, then do the podcast. That'd be perfect. However, you're only talking about the short film category. So what's the point? We still haven't seen, unless they also show the animated shorts, but you're still not going to see the documentary shorts. There's so much to do. So if you're only seeing, oh, here we're just specializing on the, you know, the short shorts, whatever the short shorts, whatever they're called. You know, what's the, you know, there's so much other stuff we need to concentrate on. So whatever, I'm totally looking forward to it. I am totally looking forward to gambling on the Oscars, as I usually do, pretty well. I am assuming Oppenheimer is the odds-on favorite to win, but I need to check all this stuff and do a bunch of research before tonight, talking about Tuesday, in which we will be doing our legendary annual Oscar Comedy Cellar show. That all being said, boy, I had a great time. I hope you felt this podcast was as advertised at the beginning of the podcast. I thought it was great. There were so many things that just everything we've ever talked about for 3 years all came to fruition. And when I say again, 3 years, I mean 8 years, the entire podcast. So I thought this one is a classic. I don't know what I'm going to title it, but I know it's going to be good. Watch tonight. Don't forget, Billy Joel this week. I don't know. Oh, it's You're My Home, I think. So finally, we got a song. And other than that, don't forget to watch Stupid Pet Tricks. And I will see you all next week on another episode of Just Gal in the City. Good night, everybody.